in Isaiah chapter 9. The Chaldeans tell a story. How many years this was in their culture, I have no idea. But they believe at one time that God created the world, and there was this great God spirit that ruled over the world. And he would visit his world from time to time. And the world wasn't perfect in an Adam and Eve state, but it was pretty good. And this great God spirit would visit different parts of his world from time to time. And one day, the great God spirit came and visited us in Chad. And while he was there, somebody stole a chicken. And you're saying, big deal, a chicken. Well, a chicken in Chad represents 3 days' wages. So chickens in Chad are big deals. And the great God spirit was so incensed that he says, I can't come and visit you anymore. There is no longer now any fellowship between you and me. And the great God spirit, as he was leaving, said, I can't come and visit you anymore. The relationship has been cut, but someday I will send somebody to you who will share with you how you can be in fellowship with me again. And the great God spirit left. And century after century, this story was told, and our Chaldeans waited for somebody to come and share with them how they could be in fellowship with the great God spirit again. And in the early 1920s, the first missionaries arrived in Chad. And they shared a very simple message that God had created man, had placed him in a garden, man had sinned. But before man had sinned, God had come and walked with him every day. But when man had sinned, God couldn't walk with him anymore. And, in fact, God had cast them out of the garden. But that God had loved them so much, what did he do? He sent his son to die on the cross so that man could what? Be in fellowship with God again. And it clicked. This is what they'd been waiting for. And it's exactly what Isaiah shares about in Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 2, although it's prophetic, it's exactly, if you were to ask a Chaldean, what really happened. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 2, it says, and the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. The Chaldeans would say, that'd be us. Life expectancy for a man in Chad is only in the early 50s. A woman is in the 40s. And so they live in the shadow of death. And now with the AIDS epidemic and all the implications of that, they say there has been a great light that has shined. But the question was, this light was prophesied for a long time. Turn with to Luke. We've just celebrated Christmas. But you know, the people said this light that shined. There was a light that shined to the people in darkness. You ask the Chaldeans if they're in darkness, and they say, yes, we're in darkness. Chaldeans have no problem with the concept of sin. They have problems with other things, but not with the concept of sin. And they say, we live in darkness, and you don't have to go out. I mean, just because it's dark outside, there is a spiritual darkness that we live in. And the light has shined. And in Luke chapter 1, in verse 79, as the prophecies that Zechariah was sharing, as he was sharing the prophecies about the coming of John the Baptist, his son, look at verse 79. What was one of the roles? What was one of the jobs of John the Baptist? He was to be what? He was to give light to them that sat in darkness, as in the shadow of death. See, it wasn't just in Africa that there was darkness. It wasn't just in Chad that people live in the shadow of death. And to guide their feet in the way of life. Is it any, go turn to John chapter 8. Is it any wonder that when Jesus came and lived on the earth, he said, men love what? They love darkness because their deeds are evil. And so what does Jesus share with the people there in John 8, verse 12? And Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am what? The light of the world. He that walketh in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. One of the things that, if you ever come to visit us in Chad, and I hope you do, in 25 years you've been supporting us, and never has one person from Bucyrus come and visited us. So you got an invitation now. But one of the things that we'll give you as soon as you get there is a flashlight. It is pitch black dark in Chad at 6 p.m. at night. We're so close to the equator, we have very little dusk. And it just dark. And no matter what you do, you always have a flashlight. We don't see snakes and things like that very often, but they are there. But it's amazing. You have a flashlight with you all the time. You tuck them, you know, flashlight in with your mosquito net. You would never think of getting up at night without your flashlight. And Jesus says, He is the light of the world. He that walketh in me walketh not, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, this shadow of death. People live in darkness in the shadow of death. And He comes and He says, shall have the light of life. But isn't it interesting? Turn to Romans chapter 13. Jesus came as the light of the world. People said, we have seen a great light. I wish I could have Michelle come to visit you tonight and be speaking here. You'd love Michelle. Michelle's just a few years older than I am. And Michelle is the first one to come to church at Ilibongo. It's a mud brick building with a grass thatched roof. And he opens the church at Ilibongo. And Ilibongo is right along the river. But you know, it's just been in recent years that Michelle has been coming to the church in Ilibongo. He was known all over in Ilibongo for something else. He was one of the main drunks in the town of little village of Ilibongo. And a vile man, terrible anger. And everybody avoided him. But this one Sunday morning, he had friends that would invite him to church, and he would never go to the church. But this one Sunday morning, he had to go by the church on the way to the river, because Ilibongo was along the river and he would fish. And as he was going by, he stopped. He had heard something that he had never heard before. Cocked his ear, and he went out and got closer to the church, and yes, that's what he was hearing. He went into the back of the church. The Sunday what he was hearing, it was the first time in the history of the church in Ilibongo that the Word of God was being preached in Sarakabadem. Michelle is a Sarakabadem. The New Testament had just been translated, just been printed in Sarakabadem. It was the first Sunday that they had the Word of God in Sarakabadem. And he was hearing the preacher read and preach from the Sarakabadem New Testament. And at the end of the service, he went forward and trusted Christ as personal Savior. And I talked with Michelle later. I says, Michelle, what was it? He says, you know, God, I had heard about God before, but God couldn't have loved me because God never spoke Sarakabadem. If God really loved me, He would have spoken Sarakabadem. And that Sunday, he came and trusted Christ. And he has grown so much. When you go to Ilibongo, if you went to Ilibongo, after church service, you go out and you sit under the mango trees, which are right there by the church in Ilibongo. And you sit there and you wait for them to bring whatever you're going to eat that day. And Michelle has this list. He can hardly write. He can read, but he can hardly write. He has this whole list of mental questions that he's been waiting to ask you. He cannot get enough of the Word. And If you ask Michel, he would see what? He saw a light. He was in darkness, and he saw the light. He understood the light was Jesus Christ and trusted him. And his light is complete. It is so amazing to go to Ilimongo and to see the reaction now to Michel. I was sharing before the service, Michel's the one in Ilimongo that has a stick. It's a stick about this long. And if you doze off in the service or you're misbehaving, Michel comes and taps you. And he's the one that opens the door. He's the one that shuts. But that's Michel. He cannot get enough of the light. And wouldn't it be great someday in heaven to be able to sit down next to Michel? And this church has had a portion and a responsibility and a part in getting the light to Michel. And so I want you to look at Romans 13. Paul's addressing believers now. We've seen from Isaiah to Luke to John the need for the light. I have no idea. You may be sitting in darkness. You can come to the light tonight. Look at verse 12. As he's writing, and he says, the night is far spent. What's one characteristic of night? It's dark. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore what? Cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Do you realize that even we as believers, those of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior, there's this tendency to what? To slip back into practicing the, what as he calls it, the works of darkness. We've come out of the darkness. He says, cast off the works of the darkness. He doesn't say cast off the darkness. He's writing to believers who were already experienced the light. And he says, but cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of what? Not the armor of God, that's Ephesians 6, but this is the armor of light. As he contrasts the relationship. So I just as we're going to go now and look at a video, our PowerPoint presentation. But I just want you to realize, I want you to ask the questions. We're going to be looking at tonight to a people and where God has called us. And these people have seen a great light. God's doing incredible things in Chad, and you'll be noticing. They've seen a great light. And yet this constant ministry of asking, as Paul says, to put off the works of darkness and to put on. And I have no idea. You may have come tonight, and you're still in the darkness. You have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You've never accepted the light. Oh, come and know the light tonight. Wouldn't that be great to have a missionary come in and somebody find the light? We sang about send the light. But we don't have to go very far to send the light. The light can go right outside this church. It's not a distance that the light has to go. But maybe in your Christian life, maybe God through His Word has just pointed out that there's going to need to be some casting away of the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light.